Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the Blasted News. As we move closer and closer to World War III, we move closer to nuclear radiation death of all living things on the planet. And yet, none of this is top news anywhere. It's just the same old story of stupid humans doing stupid things. And there's plenty of stories of that in today's show. Before I get started, I want to give a shout out to Charles and Tammy. I know you're listening. A couple of new listeners that actually came and met me and actually got their Reiki with me. So if any of you are not aware, then at any time you're all welcome to come out here and study with me, then pay attention to that. And it's really nice. I got to meet a couple of my listeners this week, also separate of them, Andrea and Scott. And it's so much fun when I finally do get to meet you guys as you're blowing through the state. Anyway, that was the pleasant part of life. Today's the blasted news. So it won't be pleasant for the next hour or so. I'm going to talk as fast as I can because unlike CNN and Fox, who spend hours on the same news story, I have like a million that I hope I can squeeze in the time allotted. So I'm going to get through to it. By the way, next week, Larry Pinkney, one of the original Black Panthers, will be joining me on the show. So that should be a very interesting show. So you're going to want to stay tuned. All right, White House warns Netanyahu that the occupation must end. Now, I don't know if this is theater. I don't know if it's even serious, but I'm going to give it to you. The White House Monday bluntly warned Israel that its occupation of Palestinian land must end, dismissing Netanyahu's efforts to take back his controversial campaign pledges. You know, when I was a kid, my father used to say, be careful what you say, because once the words go out of your mouth, you can't put them back in. In unusually tough language, underscoring the fracture in relations that we're supposed to believe between Washington and Israel, White House Chief of Staff Dennis McDonough said that an occupation that's lasted for almost 50 years must end, sort of like Cuba. McDonough criticized Netanyahu's pre-election pledge to block the creation of a Palestinian state, the supposed end goal of decades of fruitless, useless peace talks, and questions Netanyahu's efforts to undo the damage. So we can't simply pretend those comments were never made or that they don't raise questions about the Prime Minister's commitment to achieving peace through direct negotiations. Well, obviously, they don't want us to negotiate with Iran either, so negotiation isn't the way that the reincarnated Nazis seem to work. He said the Palestinian people must have the right to live in and govern themselves in their own sovereign state. Well, they had that before the Balfour Declaration. But nobody mentions that when they talk about it. McDonough is one of Obama's closest advisors, and his speech to the liberal pro-Israeli lobby group, J Street, was followed closely in Washington. And they also leaked, you know, some 1950-something documents about, I don't know if it was the 50s or the 60s, about Israel's nuclear programs. So it's on, is the way it looks, but we never really know. All right, why did they hate us support the troops? U.S. military sexually abused at least 54 Colombian children. I just finished Hidden History with Donald Jeffries, who I also booked as an extra show for next month because it's excellent. And he talks so much about so much rape and murder that our troops have done overseas that it's kind of sickening. U.S. soldiers and military contractors sexually abused at least 54 children between 2003 and 2007, according to a report commissioned by the Colombian government and FARC. And this is why they hate us while we get egg-bombed in the Ukraine. By the way, in Jeffrey's book, he talks a lot about the Franklin cover-up and the child abuse and molestation within our own political system. I mean, the guy really doesn't leave much out in that book. All right, an Arizona woman who went to jail for 22 years after her son died for no reason, who was innocent, it wasn't enough that she lost her baby boy, was cleared, but she said, this is not happiness. It wasn't in Arizona's paper, by the way. This was off The Guardian in the UK. Deborah Milkey described her release as bittersweet after 25 years served for the murder of her son in a case that rested on the work of a disgraced detective, you know, where they hide evidence, make up evidence, and hammer you to a wall even though you're innocent. 22 years on death row after being convicted of conspiring to murder her son in a case that rested on the work of a detective with a history of misconduct. And she said regaining her freedom was vindicating but bittersweet. Well, she lost 25 years of her life and her son. A judge on Monday formally dismissed the murder charges against Deborah Milkey, ending what her lawyers called a living nightmare for half her life. After her son was found dead, the now discredited Phoenix police detective Armando Saldate claimed that Milkey confessed to arranging her son's murder, even though there was no witness or recording, and she got convicted. No proof, no nothing, no witnesses. She had said that I had absolutely nothing to do with the brutal murder of my son, and I didn't give a confession to Mr. Saldate. She said, I always believed this day would come. I just didn't think it would take 25 years, 3 months, and 14 days to rectify such a blatant miscarriage of justice. She doesn't get that there is no justice in this country. She was convicted of her 4-year-old son, Christopher, in 1990, sentenced to death. They said she recruited 2 male friends to kill her son so she could collect insurance on him. Saldetti's, the criminal detective's testimony, was the only evidence connecting Milkey to the murder. But at the time, prostitutors did not disclose, and defense attorneys didn't have access to, the detective's personnel records, which showed a history of lying under oath and misconduct. Well, how come he's not in jail for 25 years? The woman never got a fair trial. In mid-March, her attorneys filed a lawsuit seeking damages from Phoenix, but I understand we don't pay damages for these things, for people rotting in jail for all their lives and get zip when they get out. The complaint contends Milkey is a victim of malicious prosecution and authorities violated her civil rights by denying her a fair trial. Through more than two decades of legal appeals, she's always maintained her innocence and consistently denied confessing to her son's murder. So it wasn't enough that her 4-year-old was murdered, but she had to pay 25 years for something she didn't do. God bless America and our justice system, of which there is no justice. All right, let's get over to the FBI. What have they been up to since 9/11? Nothing useful, like they weren't on 9/11. The FBI urgently needs to improve its intelligence capabilities and hire more linguists to counter the rapidly evolving threats to the U.S. This according to a report released Wednesday. The report was issued by the FBI's 9/11 Review Commission and says they've made great strides in their intel collection and sharing, but their ability to gain information from people and to analyze it lag behind marked advances in law enforcement capabilities. So they say in order to meet growing, increasing national security threats from adaptive and increasingly tech-savvy terrorists, more brazen computer hackers, and technically capable global cyber syndicates, well, they have enough linguists in their large offices, which, of course, Sibel Edmonds said they don't even know how to translate what they are translating, and they let her go because she was an excellent linguist, but she wasn't telling them what they wanted to hear. But they say their linguists are in short supply throughout the rest of the country. Well, that could be why, because if you actually tell them the truth, you lose your job. So let's go back in time. We don't have to go back too far. To the deserter a la George W. Bush style, Bowie Bergdahl. When I saw this story pop yesterday that the former Taliban captive who was treated like a hero, who was a deserter from the get-go, who got members of his own unit killed looking for him after he deserted them, Obama pretty much hugging and kissing his parents in front of TV audiences worldwide, now faces life in prison after being charged with desertion. Well, didn't I say he was a deserter from the get-go? The longest-held prisoner of the post-9/11 war era is being charged with desertion and misbehavior before the enemy. He faces a potential penalty of life in prison. An expected court-martial proceeding for Bowie Bergdahl will initiate a dramatic fall from grace for a soldier whose release after 5 years in Taliban captivity was a top priority for Barack Obama. Wonder what he's thinking today. His attorney confirmed that the Army charged Bergdahl Wednesday afternoon, and a preliminary hearing is in a military court scheduled for April 22nd. I think that's Earth Day. Well, they'll be burying him in the earth on Earth Day in court for sure. So there you have it. I hate to say it, but I called that one from the get-go while everybody was all, oh, he's so wonderful, and I get all the threats when I post that stuff. Well, who's right, who's wrong, and there you have it. One pilot, let's get over to that plane crash because there's a juicy story. I even alerted Lori at Citizens for Legit Gov, who covers this too. And I said, Lori, there's a whole lot more to this story than you know. And she was pretty appreciative of what you're going to hear here, which you probably haven't heard anywhere else. So let's follow the story. This is how the story first gets reported. The plane crash, nobody knows why, the usual. And then they tell you one pilot was locked out of the cockpit before the plane crashed in France. Okay, they can hear the audio. They immediately found the black boxes and recorders, something we're still waiting for on 9/11. And according to that, they have picked up that you can hear the other pilot trying to smash the door down because the guy on the inside decided to lock him out. Then they said the black box was found, but there was no indication of terrorism. Well, I think that if a co-pilot deliberately crashes a jet, I would call that terrorism because that's what they found out. Now, this according to French prosecutors, the crash of the German Wings plane in the Alps that killed 150 most likely happened because the co-pilot crashed the jet deliberately. Well, time to investigate the co-pilot. The co-pilot started the plane's descent for an unknown reason while he was alone in the cockpit, and then he obviously must have locked the other guy out. Bryce Robbins is the prosecutor and said he's opened an investigation for voluntary manslaughter. Well, they're all dead, so what's the point? The revelation that one of the pilots was locked out of the cockpit before it crashed raised new troubling questions Thursday as search teams tried to scour the rugged terrain for clues that could shed light on what happened. The flight, Airbus A320, operated by German Wings, was traveling to Dusseldorf, Germany from Barcelona when it inexplicably descended and slammed into the French Alps, killing the 144 passengers and 6 crew members on board. The mystery of what happened on the plane during an unexplained 10-minute descent deepened on Wednesday when a senior French military official participating in the investigation revealed that evidence from a cockpit voice recorder indicated that one pilot had left the cockpit before the plane started its descent and was unable to get back in. Well, here's what I think is the Lollapalooza part of the story. Who's on the plane? Okay? And I got this off bizjournals.com of all places. A longtime Booz Allen Hamilton employee. Booz Allen, remember them? The ones that Ed Snowden worked for? Well, here's the story. The employee and her daughter were among those killed in a plane crash in the Alps on Tuesday, according to McLean-based contractors' confirmation. They said Booz Allen and our employees are mourning the sudden and shocking death of Yvonne Selke, an employee of nearly 23 years, and her daughter in the aircraft. This according to the vice president of Booz Allen. She said, Yvonne, here's the sentence, Yvonne was a wonderful co-worker and a dedicated employee, 23 years with them, remember that, who spent her career with the firm supporting the mission of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. We're in contact with her family to provide comfort and support, and support options to her co-workers as well. I find that very curious. I'm sure you might, too. Just found that a little on the interesting star side. I said, what are the chances? who was the guy, who was the co-pilot? Surely wasn't God as my co-pilot on that flight. Meanwhile, World War III seems to be amping up all over the place. It doesn't make any kind of major news here, but sooner or later it might. Saudi Arabia announced Wednesday that they started military operations in Yemen, launching airstrikes in coordination with a coalition of 10 nations. The strikes came as Yemen was hurtling closer to civil war after months of turmoil, as fighters and army units allied with the Houthi movement threatened to overrun the southern port of Aden, where the besieged president of Yemen, Hadi, has gone into hiding. The rapid advances by the president's opponents include the seizure of a military airbase and an aerial assault on his home. And U.S. warplanes began airstrikes in Tikrit, Iraq. They've begun airstrikes in the northern Iraqi city of Tikrit after the government requested assistance with the stalled offensive to reclaim the hometown of former strongman Saddam Hussein from the extremist group, the Islamic State. Well, wasn't Iraq better off with Saddam Hussein? Meanwhile, files on U.S. spy operations in Yemen have been looted by Iran-backed forces, so they want us to believe, setting up Iran. Secret intel files held by Yemeni security forces have been looted by Iran-backed militia leaders in Yemen, exposing informants and plans for counterterrorism operations, which inflicts severe damage on U.S. networks in Yemen. Well, we're getting hacked and whacked all over the place, and maybe rightfully so. And there you go. Let's get down to Chile. They say their drought is here to stay, and they have laid out a plan to ensure water for all. They say they have no end in sight to a drought that's blighted Chile for the last several years. So the government's going to invest in desalinization plants and reservoirs to ensure access to potable water, according to the president. That was yesterday. This is today in Chile. Heavy rains in northern Chile leave thousands of people cut off. It's caused mudslides and rivers to breach their banks, leaving residents stranded and forcing several companies to suspend copper mining operations in the world's number one producers. So just when they thought they were out of water, they get heavy rains that flood everything. Yesterday, wild tornadoes hit Oklahoma and Arkansas, damaging buildings as it went on through. The storm system produced at least three tornadoes in Arkansas and Oklahoma, downing power lines and causing damage to structures. So, wild and woolly weather happening everywhere, expected to continue, but not in Beijing in 2022. If Beijing came out and their mayor promised that if they get to hold the 2022 Winter Olympics, they'll be both frugal and free from the city's notorious smog. The mayor is promising smog-free Olympics. How are you going to do that with your magic tricks of weather manipulation? Good luck for that, 2022. Wow. Let's all see where everything's at in 2022 is what I say. Let's get over to Indiana where the white male religious crazy rulers, are passed a bill to ensure sweeping discrimination. The governor can't wait to sign it, and I think he did, Mike Pence, enacting policies to allow a chosen few to trample over the rights of everyone else. They passed a religious freedom bill Monday, allowing private businesses, individuals, and organizations to discriminate anywhere at any time against any person they choose to, based on religious grounds. More reason, people are leaving religion in droves, but not quick enough. Once the two bills get reconciled, because they also filed one in the Senate, Mike Pence said he couldn't wait to sign it into law. It did get signed into law. And the bill now will empower police officers to refuse to patrol the areas around synagogues or mosques, allow doctors to withhold treatment or information from their patients, or expose the LGBT community to a new wave of discrimination. One of the senior attorneys, Jenny Fizer, of the LGBT legal advocacy group Lambda Legal, said, once the governor signs this bill into law, women, racial minorities, religious minorities, people living with HIV, and many others will be much more vulnerable to the whims of any individual or business owner who refuses services to particular groups of people based on religious objections to who these people are. Unbelievable. Well, George Takei, former Star Trekker, came out and is now encouraging boycotting Indiana over the religious freedom bill. So now Indiana's governor faces the prospect of a wider boycott from science fiction and gaming fans with the involvement of actor and activist George Takei, who is gay and married to his husband. He criticized both Pence and the Republican-controlled state legislator online over Senate Bill 101. Supporters said the measure would protect residents' freedoms of religion from state scrutiny, while opponents countered the bill would legalize discrimination against same-sex couples, sort of like they want to do in California. And this is what Takei had to say to the governor and to the legislators in Indiana who support this backward-looking and divisive bill. I say to you this, if it goes into effect, Indiana will be marked as a state where certain people are not welcome, like Virginia. And so we will not visit, we will not spend, we will not attend events, including Gen Con, the world's largest gaming convention, held in Indianapolis every year. Well, let's see how this all shakes out, and this is what a lot of states are doing. Well, freedom of religion should also be freedom from religion, and nobody's religion should have anything to do with legislature in this country. Some Christian nation we are, backwards at the speed of light. U.S. is promising, while they want to cut Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, promising billions more, another $4 billion a year to fund Afghanistan's military for the next two fiscal years. More support for the government in Kabul, no support for Americans' needs. It means continuing U.S. funding for Afghan security forces of 352,000 troops through the end of fiscal year 2017, which means to us taxpayers getting the shaft, a financial commitment about $4 billion a year. And there you go. How's that foreign aid, which only goes to war and the war machine, never goes to the people, in case you're stupid enough to actually think that's what happens, because a lot of Americans are. Meanwhile, the U.S. House of Sociopaths, the Rothschild House of Congress, has passed a resolution calling on Obama to send lethal weapons to Ukraine, despite the fragile truce in the eastern part of the country. It was a non-binding resolution passed by an overwhelming majority in the House of Sociopaths, 348-48. Last week, Russia's foreign ministry, Sergei Lavrov, called on Germany and France to take action against Kiev's non-compliance with the Minsk peace agreement. Meanwhile, the Czechs are unhappy about U.S. military convoys crossing their country. They don't want our tanks in there, so they've started a Tanks No Thanks campaign, protesting the procession of U.S. Army hardware through the Eastern European country. Nobody sees this as the beginning of World War III. Hello, it's like every World War II movie we've ever seen. They say it's been turned into a provocative victory parade near the Russian border. The American military vehicles, which took part in NATO drills in Poland, Lithuania, and Estonia, plan to cross the territory of the Czech Republic between March 29th and April 1st, on their way to a base in Germany. Unbelievable. What part of "we don't want you here" do we not get in this country? All right, two people actually trying to do something right in the House, shock of shock, trying to dismantle the Patriot Act. Well, once they do that, they got to hit the NDAA and a whole list of other acts listed in one of Jesse Ventura's books. A pair of House lawmakers want to completely repeal the Patriot Act and other legal provisions to dramatically rein in American spying. Representatives Mark Pocan of Wisconsin, a Democrat, Thomas Massey of Kentucky, a Republican, Tuesday unveiled their Surveillance State Repeal Act, which would overhaul American spying powers, unlike any other effort to reform the NSA. The bill would completely repeal the Patriot Act, the sweeping national security law passed after 9/11, almost immediately, as well as the 2008 Pfizer Amendments Act, another spying law that the NSA has used to justify collecting our communications through the internet. Will it happen? I don't know, but those two people get the gold star of the month for that one. Smart meat is not so smart, as I've warned you before. Anything that starts with smart is something you don't want. utilities around the country installing millions of smart meter devices, which uses wireless technology to send info back to the companies about power usage by their customers. But there's a growing body of scientists deeply concerned about bathing the public in low-level non-thermal radiation, and they say the smart meters pose the greatest danger of all. Jerry Flynn, who's retired from the Canadian Armed Forces after a 26-year career, much of which was spent as a specialist in electronic warfare, said, "There's nothing more dangerous than a smart meter on your house, and he's not the only one who thinks so. So you need to fight it, and you need to fight it now. And if you have one in there, get them to take it off." Okay, let's see. Here's another big story. The U.S. accuses Israel of spying on Iran nuclear talks and then presenting that evidence to Congress, which means, once again, they're traitors guilty of treason if they use that evidence against Osama's deal with Iran. Of course, Israel is denying the Wall Street Journal report that it shared confidential information from talks with members of the Congress in attempt to derail any deal the U.S. had was trying to make with Iran's nuclear program. So the U.S. is now accusing Israel of spying on international negotiations over Iran's nuclear program and using the intelligence gathered to persuade Congress to undermine the talks. The Wall Street Journal cited senior administration officials as saying the Israeli espionage operation started right after the U.S. opened up a secret channel of communications with Tehran in 2012, aimed at resolving the decade-long standoff over Iran's nuclear aspirations. This Congress is as double dirty dealing as they were during the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. History continues to repeat itself. He had more enemies in his own administration than you could shake a stick at, having to be forced to have secret conversations with Nikita Khrushchev because he didn't trust anybody in his administration, let Nikita know that his own people had turned against him. Well, it's the same thing with Barack Obama. The apparent decision by the White House to leak the allegations, the latest symptom of the gulf growing between Obama's administration and Netanyahu's government over the Iran talks, in which the Israeli leader suspects U.S. officials of being ready to make too many concessions at the expense of Israeli security. Intelligence analysis suggested the leak reflects the degree of anger in Washington at Netanyahu's action and could mark a more serious blow to the already bad relationship. The leak has come exactly 1 week before a deadline for the U.S.-Iranian negotiations to produce a framework agreement. So, once again, you kind of figure, what's it going to take? You get a mother of a murdered four-year-old who gets 25 years to life in prison for something she didn't do. What's it going to take for these Republicans to be charged with crimes, okay? Crimes against their own country. Well, that's what somebody else wants to know. So, let's go on. If Republicans did get intel from Israeli spies, they could be charged under the Espionage Act. The buried lead of the story is what the Wall Street Journal alleges the Israeli government did with the intel. The Journal reported the espionage didn't concern the White House as much as Israel's sharing of inside information with U.S. lawmakers and others to drain support for a possible deal with Iran to rein in Tehran's nuclear program in exchange to ease off international sanctions. Really? They're worried about Israel sharing the secrets with U.S. lawmakers, but they don't consider that's considered espionage, going behind the president's back? This is the first time we're hearing about this, and it seems likely the Republicans didn't immediately turn over the leaks to the Defense Department. They kept the information and its sources private. The allegations, of course, being strongly denied by Republican lawmakers, including John Boehner, same as Netanyahu saying he didn't say there'll be no Palestinian state. They deny it right to your face. When asked about the Israeli intel, Boehner claimed he was baffled, and don't expect him to budge from that position because the implications of admitting to the charges would not just be political suicide, but possibly criminal. In a cruel irony, Republicans who were so adamant about sending WikiLeaks Chelsea Manning behind bars under the Espionage Act might find themselves sitting next to her for the same crime. According to U.S. law, espionage is defined loosely as the act of obtaining, delivering, transmitting, communicating, or receiving information about the national defense with an intent or reason to believe that the information may be used to the injury of the United States or to the advantage of any foreign nation. Well, sounds pretty clear to me, crystal clear. Further clarifying, the Espionage Act, as part of Title 18 of the U.S. Legal Code, states that accepting any sensitive intel that's harmful to U.S. defenses or interests is a federal crime, carrying sentences of up to life in prison or execution, depending on the state. Let's send them to Utah. That's where they're going to shoot you now, shoot you dead, you know, death by firing squad. I would like to be in the front row of that show. If it can be proven that Republican lawmakers were dealing in Israeli back channels in violation of federal law, hello, didn't Boehner do that, kind of, inviting him to speak to Congress in the first place? The country may witness something it's never seen before, the mass incarceration of politicians whose crimes look an awful lot like treason. Well, there's something Obama can leave as his legacy. Just get them all and put them all in jail. No one will ever forget you, Obama. You'll be as famous as JFK till long after my grandchildren are dead. Take that to the bank for sure. Okay, got lots more stuff in the news. I'm going to tell you to hang with me. I'm going to a short break. I will be.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Lee is in it just like you are. Often imitated but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Okay, welcome back. And if you're listening to the show and you don't have a subscription or you're listening at PRN or somewhere else, you've never made a donation, please consider doing so. My site has hundreds of hours of great information that you need to know. It needs to, you know, there is some cost involved in doing what I do, and I need your help. There's no Ford Foundation or gold companies back in my show. That I can tell you, and as you can see, there's no corporate whores advertising on my show either. Thus, the pleasure of no commercials. Okay, I guess the big boy's not too happy with the FCC's decision on net neutrality, and the lawsuits have already begun. The order hasn't even taken effect yet, but the first wave of lawsuits started being filed on Monday by companies under the U.S. telecom umbrella, arguing that the new net neutrality rules are arbitrary, capricious, and an abuse of discretion. They're arguing that U.S. regulators' rules break federal and local laws and violate the Constitution, there we go, and the 1934 Communications Act. They only know how to throw that word in there when it has no meaning. Net neutrality forces internet service providers to grant customers equal broadband and traffic speeds with no regard to the type of traffic flowing through the network, and reclassifying the internet access as a utility. Well, under those terms, Comcast is banned from charging Netflix more than Amazon for internet access or fast lanes. Overall, net neutrality enforces three rules: no blocking, no throttling, and no paid priority traffic. And I guess they don't care for that. Not that I think a utility is going to be any cheaper. Have you seen the taxes and extra charges on all your utility bills at home? All right, hey, latest from Fukushima, dead sea creatures covering the sand with a sea of red on a California beach. They said bazillions of crab-like things washed ashore, one witness said. I've never seen these before, and it's incredible. Glow-in-the-dark organisms have recently been stranded there as well. One official said, no one here has ever seen it. And I have more stories on that too. Let's get back to smart meter information consumers should know, just in case you didn't think that other story was enough reason to not have one. And this is written by Catherine Frompovich, an activist post. Over the course of a year that my electric power company in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania has been installing smart meters of homes in my area, I've been able to keep one off my house by placing a no permission granted to install smart meter sign on the meter along with a padlock on the meter latch. Early in February, I got what I perceived as a threatening letter to my health, safety, and well-being that if I don't give PECO, P-E-C-O, permission to install a smart meter, my electric power will be turned off, and not because I haven't paid my bill. No utility bill, wherever my late husband or I have ever lived, was missed or made as a late payment. So she says, I'm telling my story about smart meters, and this is it. Smart meters basically are licensed radio stations that transmit electrical usage, occupancy times, and other information out of homes on which they're installed, thereby providing wiretapping without proper and legal search warrants. As a result of that illegal activity, smart meters are illegal and can't be forced upon anyone since they're basically breaking federal laws, even though they supposedly function within the purview of law, especially in Pennsylvania where there's no opt-out provisions in the law. Some U.S. constitutional issues are involved. Moreover, a smart meter basically is nothing more than a search without a warrant every day, hundreds of times during the day, 24/7, due to the constant collection of information being transmitted out of the house. It's nothing short of electrical house wiretapping, and wiretapping is illegal in all 50 states. Well, there's another way of looking at smart meters. I know they're still fighting that here in Arizona, and yet a lot of the brain dead here have paid no attention to it and just said, look, I got something new, a smart meter. People are just willfully ignorant, can't fix those, don't waste your time trying to. All right, another law Arizona now wants to come up with is one to hide names of the police who kill people here. They've produced a bill to scale back police accountability even further than it already is. It's Senate Bill 1445, which would prohibit law enforcement agencies from releasing the name of officers involved in use of deadly physical force that results in death or serious physical injury for 60 days after the confrontation. It's already been passed by the Republican Arizona House of Representatives, only has 13 votes against it, and hits the Senate this week, and then it'll go over to our new governor, Doug Douchebag, who's hacked away at state programs while earmarking millions of dollars for private prisons. Opponents of the bill are already rallying in front of the governor's office, saying that the bill would have devastating impact. One of the executive director of the ACLU of Arizona said police officers have an extraordinary power because they can detain, search, arrest, and have the ability to shoot to kill. And that's when the transparency and accountability needs to be the strongest, as been proven throughout the entire country. So let's get over to Georgia. Rainy night in Georgia for women, that's for sure, as the southern states go back in the past to, 1800, where women are less than dirt. Some things just never change. Georgia women arrested protesting a bill that would let employers fire women who've had an abortion. If the bill passes, the state will see a new wave of discrimination similar to Jim Crow, as if that ever went away in Georgia. In several states, Republican lawmakers sponsoring bills to allow employers to use religious liberty, what happened to separation of church and state, as an excuse to do whatever they want, include discriminate against customers or employees on the basis of religion. Another reason religion should be outlawed. Georgia's version of this religious liberty bill has already passed the state Senate, but running into trouble in the House where even the Speaker, who's a Republican, has expressed skepticism about it. Progressive activists are leaving nothing to chance, realizing if the bill passes, the discrimination will be similar to the Jim Crow restrictions on African Americans. Some women's organizations particularly concerned that right-wing employers could fire women who've had abortions. On Monday, four women, Megan Harrison, Lorraine Fontana, Emma Stitt, and Jessica Resnicet, sought an audience with the Bills Chief Senate sponsor, Josh McCoon. Not only were they denied the meeting with the Republican, they were arrested. These women's names, I'm sure, will go down in history as heroes. At least two of the women, Emma and Jessica, has decided to refuse the bond for now, saying they're going to stay in prison till the bill is defeated. Love them. The arrests come as new information comes to light about McCoon's own deeply anti-gay ministry. Georgia Voice had the scoop on that. This is his religious bill being pushed down women's throats, okay? Let's take a look at this crazy bastard and his crazy religion. McCoon is listed as the registered agent for Chaplain Paul Voorhees Ministries. Voorhees is the host of Ranger Joe's God and Country radio show in Columbus, which routinely posts racist and homophobic messages on his Facebook page, including an image of him with fellow speakers at a North Georgia college holding homophobic signs, another image of a heterosexual couple holding hands with the word straight pride, and Voorhees commenting, gay life is like an acting role with a used barf bag, and an image of the atomic bomb that we dropped over Nagasaki with Voorhees calling the victims Rice Krispies. In other posts, Voorhees appears to compare an African-American looter to Obama, and post an image showing the devil supporting same-sex marriage. McCoon appears dead set on pushing his bill while at the same time claiming it doesn't create a legal environment for more discrimination. His ties to a deeply bigoted ministry and his own refusal to meet with critics seems to show he might be not as trustworthy as he wants you to believe. I'll tell you what, the power of the rich white male patriarchy that's been in place since the Constitution was written for them is dying. And as it dies a slow death, too bad it's not quicker, they're all in a panic to get all their crazy laws in place before they are the minority. I just hope I live long enough to watch them in the minority, where they will be afraid that other people, other races, and other people that are different might actually treat them the way they've treated them for hundreds of years. What goes around comes around. Can't wait. Let's get over to the idiots in California. They're another religious fanatic who should have been disbarred and put in a mental asylum a long time ago, who wants the Shoot the Sodomites bill. Now I see that the Attorney General there doesn't even want to write this up, even though it's her job to do it. Well, activists are out in the street, and a California resident has now filed the Intolerant Jackass Act to take her frustration out against the state attorney general's inability to stop the ballot measure calling for gay people to be killed, Shoot the Sodomites law. Well, Matthew McLaughlin, some kind of attorney from Huntington Beach, is the one who filed the Sodomite Suppression Act, so that anyone who touches another person of the same sex for sexual gratification be put to death by bullets to the head. Charlotte Laws said she was fighting fire with fire, filing a competing measure with language mirroring McLaughlin's, but mandates 3 hours of sensitivity a month for 12 months and a $5,000 donation to an LGBT rights group for anyone found to be an intolerant jackass. Love it. Laws, a community activist, says she's aware her proposal will never become law and likely violates the First Amendment, but the measure's intended to be symbolic. She said, we have a very open-minded state and country. This is one guy, and there are millions of us who don't agree with this. Well, there you have it. What a special creature living in California. I think that there must be a religious insanity button for the majority of them, and I think it was pushed at the same time, like nationwide in everybody's mind. Maybe HAWP and chemtrails all together has blown everybody's mind. I wish to God these people would read the entire Bible so they can see what crazy, lying hypocrites they all are. Ted Cruz didn't have a good week, I guess, when his wife decided when the Canadian-born man, a son of another religious psycho, decided he's going to run for president, which he can't because he's not born in America, open and honestly, no debate on that one. His wife, you know, Goldman Sachs, since we do have a Goldman Sachs government anyway, had to quit her job at home at Goldman Sachs, so her husband, Eddie Munster's lookalike, could announce being a stalking horse for Jeb Bush. Well, he lost his health care coverage through his wife. So after he spent most of his life trying to stop Obamacare, his wife lost his benefits, and now he has to sign up for Obamacare. What a loser. A loser with a capital L. L. So, Ted Cruz, while you're on Obamacare, you're still going to vote against it, you idiot. George Zimmerman, the murderer of the year, has come out and said that killing Trayvon Martin was God's plan. And wishing that Trayvon lived is almost blasphemous. Yep. George Zimmerman is now blaming Barack Obama of dereliction of duty by using racially charged comments to divide the public against him during his murder trial. He's blaming Obama, and he's saying killing that kid was God's plan. 17-year-old Trayvon Martin still dead. And yet Zimmerman is out there giving an interview and insisting he has a clean conscience after he was found to be not guilty. Remember, he was arrested 3 times after that for threatening his wife, had his guns taken away, whatnot, and yet still free. He said, "I believe God has his plans. He knows what God wants, like they all do. And for me to second-guess them would be hypocritical and almost blasphemous." He said, "Oh, Barack Obama was the government official who was the most unfair to him by far." Because he said if he had a son, it would look like Trayvon. He said, "To me, that was clearly a dereliction of duty, this coming from a mall cop, pitting Americans against each other solely based on race." Well, you got off because you weren't black and because you weren't a cop, Zimmerman. But sooner or later, there's a bullet with your number on it. I have no doubt of that because this is the craziest country on the face of the earth. All right, how much time do Americans spend plugged into the Matrix every day? Well, here you go. The average American spends more than 10 hours a day using an electronic device. Most of that activity, not even interactive. Just passively absorbing content someone else has created, just like in the Matrix. But except we're not being forced to connect to the Matrix, we're willingly connecting ourselves to it. Well, isn't that the truth? This is a great article on Activist Post, which is becoming one of my favorite sites. There's a giant system that defines our reality for us, and the length of time people spend connected to it just continues to keep growing. People don't feel right unless there's something running in the background. TV, radio, computers, you know, something buzzing in their pockets. Ridiculousness, slavery. It's another form of slavery. People constantly being bombarded with messages about what's true, what's not, what's right, what's wrong, programming your thinking. And that's exactly what's happening. And now you'll be willfully giving them your biometric data for your convenience of not having to remember a password or two. And we just willingly move into a police state. Okay, government orders bank tellers to call the cops if you take out a cash withdrawal of $5,000 or more. Your own money, and yet, welcome to the police state, USA. The Justice Department's ordered bank tellers, not the tellers, not the big banks that we've bailed out or ripped us all out. They weren't checking those trillions of dollars that they were blood-sucking, but they're worried about whether you take your own money out of your own bank. Because they want law enforcement to be contacted if they suspect your cash withdrawal might have something to do with illicit activity. Not the illicit activity of the big bank bailouts. They don't have to have any proof, any sort of red flag, just suspicion by the bank teller is now enough to have you investigated by authorities. Isn't that special? What people don't realize is banks already unpaid government spies. Federal regulations in the land of the free require banks to file suspicious activity reports on their customers, and it's not optional. And they have minimum quotas of suspicious activity reports that they have to fill out, sort of like cops. If they don't file enough of them, they can be fined and lose their banking charter. And yes, bank executives and directors can even be imprisoned for noncompliance. That's the financial system in the land of the free, home of the slave. Okay, let's see. Got some more stories here. Really only 2 big patches of intact forest left on Earth, and this should be terrifying people. A new study uncovered the ruinous consequences to plant and animal species of our increasingly fragmented forest. The persistent, unpredicted consequences of human activity. A new study conducted by 24 international scientists say that it might be ruinous for plant and animal life. But when the plants and animals are gone, figure it out, people are right behind it. There are only two big patches of intact forest left on Earth, the Amazon and the Congo. And they shine out like eyes from the center of the map. 20% of the world's remaining forests are the distance of a football field, 100 meters away from forest edges. 70% of forest lands are within a mile of forest edges, within a half mile. That means almost no forest can really be considered wilderness anymore. This is what we have done to the earth. Fragmented habitats for animals, which reduce plant and animal diversity from anywhere from 13 to 75%. In many cases, the impacts of fragmentation on forest ecosystems only becomes apparent after many years. They found that fragmented forests lose more than half their species just in 20 years. And this is the effect of man's ignorance and greed. Let's not leave that out. I'm going to post a link in today's show for the list of politicians with Israeli dual citizenship. Because you need to ask yourself, where is allegiance of these people that have dual citizenship with Israel? Why are there Israeli but not Mexican-American dual nationals? Which is a good question. So when push comes to shove, who are these people going to side with? And I'm going to post the link so you can read it for yourself. All right, the Justice Department criticizing the Philadelphia police found that shootings by officers are very common. Police in Philadelphia have shot at people an average of nearly once a week over the past 7 years. It's not like non-stop murder. Though African Americans account for 80% of the shooting victims, whites who were shot by the police were more than likely than blacks to be unarmed, according to the Justice Department. And in most cases, unarmed black suspects were shot by black officers. Bottom line is, the police is supposed to be protecting and serving us, not killing us, you know, by the bushel every week. I mean, it's just ridiculous. All right, the four horsemen of the apocalypse are here. Got this off Truth Out. Ecological catastrophe, economic crisis, war, and the surveillance state. Together they threaten all life on Earth, and it's time to know the enemy and know yourself. Good point there. And Ecuador's foreign minister said the U.S. is the real threat in the Americas, not Venezuela. And that's the truth of it. The rest of the world sees us as number one in world the most dangerous country in the world and world problems. Belgium, not only famous for their wonderful chocolates, but they are really so super smart. I thought this article was great. Belgium is abolishing all prison sentences under 1 year in length as part of efforts to reform its justice system. They're saying it's not just to save money, but it sure looks like it is. But they also realize that a short prison sentence, a tryout in jail, rarely leads to good results. They said what it does do is help inmates learn even worse bad habits than they had when they go in. So not only are they going to be giving out alternative sentences to people, but they also said prisoners sentenced to 5 years in jail will be released automatically after serving half their sentence, unless objections are raised by the prosecution. They want to reduce the number of their courts, cut transport costs, and reduce appeal opportunities in order to save public money. Remember, I told you, when the money runs out, everything else goes out the window. Okay, let's see what else I have for you. Okay, you had a big, fairly sizable earthquake on Vancouver Island on the 25th, a 5.0. So the earth is still quaking. Fukushima is entering its fifth year of nonstop nuclear meltdown, radiation going around the planet. And what's your friends and neighbors talking about is the top news story. Anyway, I'll be back on Monday with lots more news, a lot of news I can even get time to today. Thanks for supporting the show, and I'll see you guys then.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.